The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
A big increase. Is this the Leaving Cert class of 2020 the brightest ever? Because they've certainly got the best Leaving Cert results. Of course, the results have been given in a different way to ever before because there hadn't been the normal state exams. We have average grade inflation of 4.4% after the teachers assessed their own pupils. It would have been even higher if there had not been a reduction in some grades because of standardisation. Certainly an awful lot more H1s than we've ever had before. 8.9% of grades in higher level subjects were H1s, compared with an average of 5.6% over the last 3 years. It would have been 13.4% of H1s had many teachers' marks not been reduced. Betty McLaughlin is with us, who is a guidance counsellor. We've met many times on this programme previously. What do you think of the fairness of the results which have been given out today, Betty?
Well, I'm delighted that for the most part students are happy. Certainly we haven't got the fallout that we've had in other jurisdictions in similar cases in the UK and in the north of Ireland. But, of course, it's still all to play for. Students are happy. I think it's only fair that they would have this feel-good factor and that the teachers' percentage grades were taken into account. Of course, it'll all be to play for when it comes down to the CAO points on Friday. And there are extra courses put in their math, which may ease the pressure on the points, hopefully. But for now, I'm happy, really, that the students are happy.
I met people today, Betty, you know, delighted with the points that their children had received. And the one thing you don't want to say to them, I mean, nobody tells you exactly what they got in the Leaving Cert and you don't ask. But you do worry that if you have this grade inflation, that you could have an awful lot of children very disappointed, or young adults disappointed on Friday, when they discover that the points they got and they were delighted with are not going to be good enough to get them on the course that they want because the course requirements have gone up.
Yeah, well, the points requirements will probably definitely go up compared to other years. But as I said, there were checks and balances put in. I know the CAO and the HEI, the Higher Education Authority, they did work with the department on this. And I'm hoping that having put in that 1,250 extra courses, that even though the points for the courses will be higher, the students have more change in their pocket because they have more points and that it will pan out somewhat to their satisfaction.
But Betty, an extra 1,500 places on some courses, maybe some of the more tough ones to get into, you have a situation where you may have as many as 20,000 people, based on their results in previous years, who feel that they've been disadvantaged, that their points won't be good enough by comparison with the arguably inflated points of this year.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, Matt. You're talking about the cohort that didn't sit the exam this year, had taken a year out, didn't register to do the exam. And I understand they are, you know, I suppose when we're looking at the statistics you're calling out, certainly you cannot compare like with like. And I do know that the IUA, the Irish University Association, is looking at that very seriously now, to see what kind of a system or how could they cater for that cohort. So it's not over for them yet. And I think that hopefully there will be some news on that in the next couple of days.
Betty, stay with us. Liz Daly is with us because, Liz, I know this is a topic that is of considerable concern to you, given that you had a daughter who did the Leaving Cert in 2019 and she didn't go on to college.
That's right, Matt. First of all, like Betty, I just want to reiterate that I'm delighted for the students of Leaving Cert 2020 and hope that they are happy with the results that they've achieved in what has been a challenging and uncertain and difficult time for them. So I wouldn't want to take away from the Leaving Cert 2020. But as a parent and a mother of a daughter who did her Leaving Cert in 2019, I am very mindful of the fact that grade inflation, which has happened this year and which has been acknowledged across the board, it leaves us with the situation that this large cohort of students who sat their Leaving Cert last year, who worked hard, dealt with the stresses and challenges of the Leaving Cert, now have points that have less value due to grade inflation. It's a clear issue that has to be addressed. It has resulted and will result in an unfair allocation of places if it isn't addressed. But on the fortunate side, there is it is very fixable. I mean, there's a clear and straightforward solution, I would think, to this with the department. And I, in my own head anyway, I have a clear suggestion around what
and what
that
is that? Because the one that jumps out to me is that take everybody's previous points and increase them by 4.4%, which is the average grade inflation. Would that work?
That is one way they could do it, yeah. They could take a more sensitive measure than that, which is they have the grade inflation per subject. So if we take, for example, a subject like higher level art, where last year I think the percentage of people who got a H1 was around 3.2%, and this year that percentage has gone up by over 200%. It's almost tripled. It's over 8.5%. So they have the grade inflation per subject. They could apply that average if uplift per subject result for students who did the Leaving Cert last year as an equalising measure, because the reality is certain subjects by their nature lend themselves to certain sorts of areas of study. So, you know, it's likewise for applied maths. I don't have the figures for every subject. I just have what I've read in the papers today. But the Department of Education has that information and they can apply that to assure equity, not to give anybody an unfair advantage, just simply to do what is right and what is fair.
OK, stay on the line, Liz. We have Brian Gill with us, who's head of Callan Tansey's Commercial Litigation Department and Employment Law. Brian, do you anticipate that there is the potential that there could be legal actions taken by people who feel that they have been treated unfairly as a result of this year's method of calculating the results?
Good afternoon, Matt, and good afternoon to your listeners. And again, echoing all the best wishes for the class of 2020 and indeed, as you just said there, the class of 2019 and perhaps from other years who are back in the system again for 2020 and waiting on the points allocation on Friday. I think you hit the nail on the head there, Matt, when you use the word potential. There's always the potential for legal issues. If you distill it down for this year, you're probably looking at three main ones. One will be the lack of a substantive appeal process, which is different from previous years. Secondly, you have the standardisation process. And thirdly, you have other specific issues and just a general grouping of potential claims. And one of them is what do you do with the cohort of 2019 or people from previous years who either went to college for 2018-19, dropped out of their course and have come back into the system. And the question is whether or not, first of all, a legal option is the best option for them. And what reception are they likely to get down in the forecourts? Because that's where these particular cases may well end up. And we've heard a couple of those cases this year, a high-profile case of Elijah Burke, who, in fairness to Elijah, belonged to a very discreet group of students. And that's a key point to bear in mind. A lot of the cases that have been taken to the courts in relation to the Leaving Cert, they effectively were, on the law, Matt, they were quite strong cases to begin with. So I would counsel caution, maybe against speaking against myself as a lawyer, just would counsel caution. I don't think there'll be a deluge of cases. There may be a small number in relation to discrete areas, but I don't foresee an avalanche of cases down to the forecourts as a result of what happened today and what's going to happen on Friday.
Well, that's good to hear because it's also a very expensive and distressing process for anyone involved. But what about the idea that Liz Daly there brought forward that I'd suggest, well, why don't you have a 4.4% increase in everyone's previous year's points? She made a very good point. I would have thought that it's possible to do it on a subject by subject basis, look at the grade inflation and recalculate prior year figures to allow for that. Could that be possible?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is the answer to these particular issues, they're going to be either political or they're going to be administrative. And I don't think they're going to be legal because the courts do have a reluctance to ground these cases in the law. They don't like to ground these cases in constitutional rights. And it's far better that the cases are resolved. If you take an example of the students who were there in 2019 and they're coming back into the system in 2020, a counter-argument may be made by students in 2020 who would say that they didn't have the benefit of an appeals process to them in 2019. And if a student from 2019 got particular results and one or two or three of those results they got were as a result of an appeal where they got an uplift, they are now competing against the students of 2020 with the benefit of an appeal process that the students of 2020 don't have. So you might say it swings in roundabouts, that there are certain advantages from 2019, there are certain advantages from 2020. What the court will do when it's faced with these questions, it will ask itself, is, does a particular decision, whatever the decision is and whatever the specific issue is, does it fly in the face of common sense? Is the decision irrational? So it's not that it results in unfairness per se, or that people will be sympathetic to the plight of a particular student. It has to be more than that, and it has to reach that particular threshold before the court will interfere.
Okay, some interesting comments from listeners. Not everyone is happy today. My daughter is very upset she got lower grades in three subjects than she got in her mocks. When we get to see, when will we get to see what grade the teacher gave us before we know what to do? Many of her friends are very disappointed too. Another one says the appeals process must allow for schools to submit appeals on their own students' behalf to justify their marks and provide evidence to back up the assessment. Hearing lots of reports of clear H1 students being marked down, one and sometimes two grades, to mark high-performing schools down to the national average. Not fair at all. Another one says, stop saying that everyone went up 4.4%. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the average inflation of the entire system was 4.4%. So the average isn't the case as it was for everybody. And Betty McLaughlin, back to you. Listener wants to know, what's the story with the appeals process?
Well, next Monday morning at 9 o'clock, the appeals process will open. But rightly, as you said there, and the other list, the other speakers, the appeals process will not be like the former years. It will be an appeals process really to check the accuracy of the data. You cannot appeal the actual result itself that was given from the school and passed to the department. It's the actual just making sure that there were no clerical errors. So that appeal, you know, that will be a kind of, it'll be a light touch enough appeal in that if the clerical errors, if there are no clerical errors, the result will stand. The only thing I'd say to any student out there that are really disappointed and really do think in one or two subjects they could have done better, they do have that opportunity to sit the exam again in November. And, you know, they could sit it in one subject, two subjects. And it's a win-win situation in that if they did poorly again, if the result when they sit their exam is actually less than what their predicted grade was, they will be allowed to keep the best of the two for the purpose of calculating their CAO points.
Although that will only give them a benefit if they want to go to college next year rather than this year.
Well, absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, another listener here says, yeah. I'm listening about the Leaving Cert and all the inflated results. My daughter went to a grind school and got her worst results. One H1, she usually gets six H1s. A lot of people in similar situations. Can you discuss, please? Betty, does that make sense to you?
It doesn't really, but again, as I said, we're aware of the system, we're aware of the percentage. The teacher was asked to give the percentage, asked to give the class ranking, sent that to the department then, to their executive office for the calculated grades, and we are still waiting, I suppose, to see exactly how to standardise. We're assured that there was checks and balances, we're assured, we know that they certainly took in to account the performance of the students in their junior cert if there were queries. So we will have the final process and the details of that standardisation process are not with us yet, Matt. So hopefully in a few days' time we'll have a better understanding
okay.
of how that works.
Betty, there's another question coming in from Craig in Kildare, and I have to admit I have a personal interest in this one as well. Given that I have a daughter just gone into Leaving Cert year. What about the 2020 fifth years? They are confused about what's going to happen throughout the year, and the teachers telling them to prepare for lockdown in the schools again, and yeah. systems in the school aren't necessarily working, because I think a lot of them are wondering, will they get to sit a conventional Leaving Cert exam in 2021? And how are their marks going to compare with the calculated grades of 2020?
Yes, and I know there's a huge awareness out there for their concerns, and rightly so. I do know that the State Exams Commission have worked on making the papers, you know, tweaking the papers in recognition of the fact that they had missed so much time last year and going online and so on. So I know they are looking to make that easier for them. And as regards, will there be an exam? What kind, what form the exam will take? I suppose they would hope that it will be still an exam, a state exam, where you sit down the State Exam Commission's papers and take them. But I suppose we do not know. You know, we're in a very uncertain time.
Okay, Betty McLaughlin, thank you. And Brian Gill from Calantansi. I want to throw one last question to you, Liz Daly. How is your daughter today? I mean, how nervous is she about the CAO situation next Friday as a result of what she's learned today?
I don't want to talk too much about her personally today. What I can say about it is that she's worried. She's asked the question, and I don't have the answer to this one. And the question that she's asked is, why are they not making it fair? Why are they not making it fair? Why would they not do for me what they're doing for students in terms of equalising it? She hasn't used the word equalising because they don't speak like that. But she's upset.
Okay, you know? I just one final one. Actually, Betty, are you still there, Betty? Thank you, Liz Daly. If Betty is maybe gone, I'll refer to you, because there's an interesting question just come in from a listener who teaches geography in Kerry. 62% of my students went down a grade. They're all tonight of the opinion that I gave the grade that they were given.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.